Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. How is life treating you this week?
Life is treating me just lovely. Thank you, Cindy.
Are you getting caught up with your holiday shopping? Have you done any of that yet?
I have to be honest, Cindy. I have not even started my holiday shopping, and I'm feeling terrible about it.
I know. It seems like, oh, boy, it's another thing to do, and yeah, I know I'm a little behind here too. So I guess we'll get to it. You know, we have a little time still. Want to remind people that December 15th is the last date for the Long Island Press for voting for the best of. There's a lot of good categories in there besides me running for best psychic, which is under services. I'd love if people scroll down and check my name and submitted it, but there's all kinds of restaurants on there and doctors and lawyers. So it's really a fun thing. So you don't have to live on Long Island to do it. So, you know, those of you who are listening, please take a moment to vote. Now, Nicole, is there anything that you want to share with us tonight?
Is there anything that I would like to share?
Yes, anything you'd like to share with us tonight? Do you need any guidance tonight?
I don't have the feeling that the callers are probably going to be answering any of all of my questions, because they usually tend to do that whenever stuff is on my mind, you know. No, you know what, I think for right now I'm pretty okay, you know. I mean, I just want to remind our listeners and everything that, you know, like I'm in the process right now of making, like, a lot of changes, you know, business-wise, personally, and things of that nature, and I'm just kind of, you know, I just want to tell our audience, basically, that, you know, not to fear change and not to fear, you know, going into that unknown, because, you know, I mean, I'm actually in the process of doing that myself right now. You know, I'm not going to get into specifics, but, you know, I'm making some changes, you know, in my life and, you know, regarding, you know, like my career and like my personal life, like I just said, you know, and everything is wonderful, absolutely wonderful on the personal note, you know, so I'm just, you know, I couldn't be happier there, and, you know, it's time to take new steps in, you know, in that direction, and I'm changing some stuff about, you know, my business, so, you know, it's scary, and it's something that I'm definitely embracing, because, you know, what do we always say, Cindy, if you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, you know, it's a definition of insanity right there, you know, so, you know, I'm stopping the insanity right now, and, you know, I'm making changes where changes are called for, so.
Exactly. And 2012 is a year where we're not going to stay with the devil we know because it feels safe. We're going to stop with that. We're going to stop with the illusion of safety, that a job that we hate is safe because that's only the illusion. A relationship that we hate is safe. It's not true. It is the illusion of safety. And we're really trying to walk the path of love, love in our passion for our job, passion for our relationship. So 2012 is our year of following our heart. So, Nicole, I see we have a lot of callers, so you may want to just jump in since we never screen the first one.
No, we never screen the first one. There's never the time, Cindy. So we are going to go over to, just so you know that we're addressing you, it's the 201 area code. Your last four digits are going to be 3640. So let's see who's awaiting us there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Rose calling from Jersey.
Hi, Rose from Jersey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And I know we've spoken to you before, correct?
Yeah, a while back. That's right.
Okay. So we want to hear, you know, what's on your mind today? Have you processed some of what you were given in the last reading? And how is life being to you?
Well, the reason I'm calling is you're talking about 2012, the new year that's coming. I just wanted to know if you have any insight regarding love or money or work, anything, whatever you can pick up.
Okay, because remember, we do have a new year coming, and actually, Rose, you're due for a very good five-year period opening up. What does that mean? It means God doesn't want to give Rose any more negative wake-up calls. You know, God is very busy trying to wake all of us up. And if you think God knows how to wake us up, God doesn't know. God just says, let me give, illness and see if that wakes somebody up. Let me give them win the lotto. That's a good wake-up call. Let me see. Love is a good wake-up call. You know, a financial ruin is a bad wake-up call. Disasters are a bad wake-up call. You're not due for negative wake-up calls. You are due for a wake-up through love. So I hope you're ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, career-wise, are you happy with what you're doing? Because there's some changes in 2012 there, too. So I hope you're ready for some career changes.
Okay.
Are you up for that now?
Well, I'm not working right now, and I actually love what I do, but I don't know. If I need to change, then I will.
And what is it that you normally do for a living?
I'm an executive assistant, but, you know, times are hard. It's hard to find a job.
Right.
But
and again,
if change is coming, well, maybe that'll be good for me.
Right. And it is a time of, like, sort of reinventing ourselves. And what's been channeled to me is that in this 21st century, people will have anywhere between 2 and 5 distinct careers, different careers. So we sometimes, if we're not getting a job in the career that we've done for years, it's God's way of saying choose again. So, of course, we build on the skills that we have. You have certain skills that you've learned, so you're going to use those skills. But don't be afraid to think a little bit outside the box or go for something that you might not think you exactly have qualifications for, because it is a little bit of learning something new here,
mm-hmm.
and then really doing very well. Your new job will probably lead you to your new soulmate, so you want to kind of get everything moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And have you been going on interviews at all?
I had 3 interviews and about 2 months ago, and one of them they started laying off people, the company, and nothing happened with those. So
okay, but don't get discouraged, because you really do have a very good year ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you been using this time to get to know yourself better?
You know what? I have this whole year. I've been trying to, you know, get to know myself and, you know, try to make changes.
Right, and again, people usually like the devil they know. It's characteristic of human beings not to like change. But if you were going to come up with a word synonymous with life, it would be change. Because every day, every moment, we're changing, life is changing. So when you're sort of at a place where everything that you believed in or everything that you sort of thought was, you know, going to be unsinkable has sunk, it gives you no choice but to choose again.
Mm-hmm.
And even thinking out, is there some job that you could create? We don't always have to wait for somebody to give us a job. We could create one. So if you start looking around at what might need doing in the world and what skills you have,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to build something even part-time while you're waiting for something else, and eventually that could be your other career. But I'm just saying you're going to have to be a little bit more proactive in your search.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you looking for these jobs? Are you only looking online?
Oh, no. I'm with several agencies, so I've been doing temp jobs as well.
Good. And are you doing your own legwork, looking also through the newspapers or?
Everything, not the paper. I look online, and then I call the agencies once a week and let them know that I'm available. And
how about...
I can. But it's the holidays, and a lot of people aren't really hiring now. So
yeah, I know. So it is a little bit of a slow time. But I do see this is going to be a very good year for you. You don't really have negatives in here. Your cards are really, really pretty good. So if you had a little time to look inward, know yourself, And, you know, please call in and let us know what happens in the next few months, because changes should be occurring here. A job offer should be coming through. And just try not to get discouraged, because it's easy to get negative. Mm-hmm. And try not to say it's a bad economy, because really there's no shortage of money on this planet. And, you know, you just have to figure out, how does some go Rose's way? You know? And, you know, there are a lot of high-end companies still doing very well. So you got to figure out with your skills what, you know, look around what products are selling, and maybe put applications, you know, into those jobs. There's always, you know, businesses that are doing well, even in a bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Think about where you would want to work. And please call and let us know, because 2012 should be a very good year for you.
Well, thank you so much, and happy holidays.
You too, and thanks for calling in, Rose. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I see we have an update from last week. We love that.
We do have an update from last week. We're going to speak to Cindy in Arizona, Cindy.
Okay.
And basically, she had gone to court last week. Remember, she had called in because, you know, she had that court case going, and then you had asked her to give us a call back and let us know how everything turned out. So she is calling us back with her update. And
good.
Hello, Cindy, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, you told me that the judge would rule in my favor, which was not correct. I got a judgment against me, but I can appeal it, which I plan to do next
week. Okay, the appeal is very important because, you know, even when I've lost in one thing, the appeal has always been important. And, again, did you watch your words when you went there?
Yes, I was very careful.
Okay, because remember, judges don't like when you, you know, say you people haven't done what you're supposed to be doing. With the appeal, again, you have to stick to the facts. Are you sticking to the facts of the case?
Well, actually, when you appeal it in the Superior Court, you just give them the judgment and a cover sheet, and they look at the transcript, so I don't say anything. We don't even have a hearing. They just look to see whether the judge was in error, and then they decide. So there is no hearing or nothing.
Is this a small claims court?
It was a justice court, which is a civil matter. You know, there's small claims and civil in the justice courts, and then if you don't like it, then you can go to the Superior Court for the appellate.
Right, and again,
there
has to be a technicality that he ruled something wrong on a technicality.
Well, once again, I did the motion for non-disclosure, and I said, even Carmen in your office says he's never filed a disclosure statement. And he goes, well, let's just go on with the trial anyhow.
That may not work here, because judges like that, they oftentimes, very few people ever appeal in the smaller claim, in the smaller courts, by the way. So most judges, it's like 1% appeal. So they're used to just like, let's just ignore this fact because nobody's going to appeal it.
Right.
So it's actually good that you appealed it because, you know, the other...
Well, no, I'm appealing it on the 15th. He hasn't signed the judgment yet because I called the office again today. They go, he hasn't signed it yet. And I go, but I only have 10 days from the time he signs it. So she goes, we'll call back on Monday. But I already looked at the aspects for the 15th around 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're really good aspects.
Right, and
so
again, it's, you know, when I lost against my landlord the first time around, and, you know, the universe kept saying, you're going to win. I won the second time when I appealed it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's really, you know, the judges sometimes are very impatient. And if they just decide there's too many, like, things they don't want to deal with, they just do ignore important things.
Right.
So, you know, it looks promising for you. Again, you know, very few people ever appeal. So just even appealing is something that, you know, when you finally do appeal, oftentimes you can win, but it has to be on the technicality. And, of course, the justice wasn't done if he ignored the legal, that he didn't file a disclosure. So, I mean, that's the kind of technicality.
Can you tell how long it'll take before they rule on it? I mean, like 6 months or something, because usually when you do the appellate, it takes some time.
It does look like it's going to take a while here. Again, the best thing is, you know, that's why I was saying it doesn't pay to argue in a court or whatever if you can appeal it,
right.
But because it only just makes it worse. But
he knew he did something wrong because the judge at the very end said, you can appeal this, you know, and I go, oh, I know. So normally, I just don't tell you that. You can appeal it. But he says, you can appeal this. And I know I have 10 days from the time you sign it. Okay, I'll have it ready by next Monday or Tuesday. But he never did.
Right. And of course, a lot of times with the judges now, it's simpler for them to just, they do a certain ruling that's easier for them, thinking that people won't appeal. And oftentimes,
right.
it's very hard when a judge rules on something to get an appeal to overrule it. But if there is
yeah.
a technicality there, they have to do it. So again, having the courage to go through with that is important, because a lot of times people don't want to go through with the appeal.
I have another client that's coming into a lot of money, and he said 3 weeks ago, he said he'd give me $2 million to invest into an annuity where I can make anywhere from $60,000 to over $140,000. And I called him today. He goes, I think it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow, so call me. So do you see it happening, that he's getting this money so I can, put it in an annuity for him?
Well, it looks okay. And again, just keep calling him and hounding him.
He's been a client for like 18 years, so I don't
right.
think
I mean,
he's making
he just,
it up.
It looks good. Your cards actually look good. I mean, they really do. And again, you learn a lot every time you go into the courts. And, sometimes, it was made very clear to me in my court case that I was going to win from my spirit guides. And when I lost the first time, I said, I thought I was going to win. They go, there's the appeal. So the
all
appeal,
right.
I definitely won. So,
and I just want to remind everybody who's listening, you can call, go on her website and vote for her every single day until the 15th, because that's only 7 more days. So you could do 7 days in a row, and please help her win.
Thank you, my dear. And we're going to pray for you that you get your money that you deserve. And, boy, I'm telling you, I going into courts now is a real pain, because the judges are oftentimes bullies. And I really think we got to somehow, as Americans, start demanding that the judges stop bullying. Because what they do is, when you're trying to say your point and he's just, let's just ignore it, you can't say anything or you'll be in contempt of court. Meanwhile, you're ignoring the whole point of my winning the case here. So,
I know, because against the law for them to continue when he never produced any testimony or evidence or anything. So I told him, I said, how can I defend myself if I don't know what he's going to say?
Right. And now you can understand. And I think we as Americans have a right to vote in judges who are not bullies. And, there's a lot of Occupy Wall Street movements. How about Occupy courtrooms with judges that are fair? And that judges
yeah.
that listen, and that judges that don't bully people, because that's how I lost against my landlord, because my landlord lied first time 13 times under oath. I was stunned. And the judge was bullying me, so I looked like an idiot because I didn't respond to the bullying. I mean, I'm not used to being bullied. People treat me with respect.
Yeah. Right.
So it's the bullying and the let's just ignore the important facts here. How could you ignore the important facts? It's the whole case. The whole case is that this is not legal or whatever. So, again, be a little patient. It looks good. This year should be a good year money-wise, so let's knock on wood for you.
Knock on wood. Thank you.
And keep calling in to us, and I'm glad that you didn't become
a
wise guy.
Good luck on winning.
Oh, thank you so much, and good luck to you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Going to court. Aren't you glad you're not going to court?
Yes. Absolutely.
I know. It's fun to know that,
Cindy's always, she's been listening for a while now, she's been calling in regularly, and, she really is, she needs a little bit of luck there, Cindy, so hopefully, our listeners can help her out and throw some great vibes her way, too, because, she's very, very loyal, she listens, all the time, she's always calling in, so, let's just send her some good vibes, and hopefully, something good will happen for her.
Good, and I see we've got another Cindy, is that possible?
We have another Cindy. Look at that. I thought I hit the wrong button twice before when she said her name before. I was like, wow, another one. So, yes, we're going to go over to Cindy. And this Cindy is located in Venice, California. And, she just wants an overall reading, regarding her love life. She just wants to see what's coming for her. So, we're going to get back to love. And we're going to speak to Cindy in Venice, California. Hello, Cindy. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you? I can't believe all the Cindy's. It's not that common a name, but here we are. We're Cindy'd out over here.
It's a Cindy trifecta.
I know. I love it. It must mean something. It must mean something very good. So I'm not sure what it does, but that's wonderful. And you wanted to know about your love life for this year coming up? Is that what it is?
Yeah, if you can just give me an overall.
I just got the soulmate card, so that's a good one. So definitely, money looks like it should be good here, too. Are you worrying about money? Because money looks pretty good here, so I would relax about money.
Oh,
and
that's good. Well, it's been pretty tight for me the last few months, so
I don't think that's going to get much work here. And are you doing anything to manifest this love? Because there's a soulmate circling very close to you, but are you going out or trying to meet people?
Yeah, I'm out in the world and I'm open to meeting new people, and I feel like I have been meeting some interesting people, but I think I'm also still kind of recovering from the last person that I really had strong feelings for, and he really kind of set the bar for now what I want in a relationship.
And that's good,
that
because he was definitely a soulmate. You know, we have about 30 on the planet. So those of you who haven't listened to the show before, it's not like we only have one. We have only one twin soul, but that's very rare. It's usually in our last incarnation, so we're not talking about that. In terms of soulmates, there's about 30. If we've been playing on a rather narcissistic rung on the ladder of love, where pretty much any person's interchangeable with another, when we do meet a soulmate, we can never play on that rung again, because we now know a soulmate's a different animal than anything else. So now you know you want a soulmate, and that's important. And there's certain characteristics that you want. So even though it may not have worked out, it's possible that you were a little afraid of love and you had your own commitment issues. So sometimes God brings us what's called a transition soulmate, one that shows us a soulmate without commitment to love and healing is going to be pain. So if we learn that lesson, we learn, look, if I get another soulmate, I'm going to stick 2 feet in and make it work. You've already learned massive lessons here. So this soulmate's going to be brought to you because you've learned your lessons. You're only responsible for your behavior. We're not responsible for a soulmate who can't commit, who runs away. You've learned lessons. It looks like he should be brought pretty sooner than later. Have you written down now what your ideal soulmate would be like?
Yeah, I've done that in the past.
Have you put down that that you want one who will commit to you and commit to healing?
Okay, I'll add that to the list.
Because if you don't add that, you just get another soulmate who's not going to heal. And who wants to watch love go from the top of a ladder of love, from soulmate to toxic, or soulmate to mediocre? I mean, it's really painful to watch that. So you really want to know that love goes up and down that ladder of love, and we have to really work at keeping it soulmate. And are you healing your own issues while you're not with a soulmate? Because that's important, because every day there's lessons to learn. Are you learning them?
I'm trying my best. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. Yeah, every day is something new. So
right, and there's no shortage of lessons to learn on Earth. There's a little bit of anxiety in your picture, like you have certain fear of love. So, you know, really put it in your mind that love, it does change everything. You know, some people, they just want love, but they don't want it to change anything. It's going to change stuff. So this is you really having, this is like the love of your life here coming. So it's you really experiencing what you want and, you know, being a little patient, because it does take a little time to bring soulmates into alignment with each other. Even though we have about 30 of them, God doesn't bring two at the same time. You had to see that your other soulmate, that it was totally not going to work. You know, you had to give certain time for to see what happened, maybe if this person returned or whatever.
Does it look like that could happen?
It looks like the window for that is kind of leaving, but have you tried to contact him on your own?
Yeah, I was the last person to make contact, and I don't want to be pushy or, you know, that was like maybe a...
Right, you just let him know that you were still there, and that's why I'm saying if he doesn't step up to the plate pretty soon, you know, the universe starts registering his thoughts, whether he's really thinking of coming forward or if it's going to be another 5 years. Who wants to wait 5 years for him to get his act together? Do you know what I'm saying? So they did have to give certain time between when you contacted him, his thoughts, his actions, And it pretty much looks like that door is going to close soon. So this other love is very much on the horizon. So just keep praying for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. And again, work on your issues. If we want a soulmate who can commit, then we have to be able to be healed enough to commit. If we want a soulmate who's honest, we have to be honest. So we have to work on being the traits that we want in people. So that's a good thing to be doing now. And just being a lover to yourself. Are you doing that now? Coming to that place of self-love?
Working on it. I think I've made a lot of progress, so...
That's the hard one. If we don't love ourselves, then we'll take too much crap from people. So it's getting to, you know, loving yourself the way you would love your own daughter. How, you know, you wouldn't tolerate too much nonsense for your daughter. We want to be able to really be that person who nurtures and loves ourselves, because then we want to be treated with respect. So those are things, and just go out and have a little bit of fun. And, you know, if you go on a date, it doesn't have to be an execution. It doesn't have to be, oh, my God, this is it, or is he the one? You know, people are going to know, I had this date, is he the one? Come on, be a little patient here, you know. And sometimes it's just go out and have a good time. Maybe he's not the forever one, but he's, you know, a nice guy for tonight to have a fun date with. And, you know, it's just having fun with life. Are you having some fun?
Yeah, I've been working more on, like, my career, trying to get that piece together so that I can feel stable enough to go out and have fun, if that makes sense. But, yes, I am. I think I'm a fun person, so I enjoy being with people that like to have fun, yes.
Right, because, you know, we also answer to God for the joy we don't take in life. And you know, just going out to have fun and have a good time, it's important. And it also helps us to have the vibrations of being a happy, joyful person. I mean, when I do the single events and I'm doing a lecture or something, and I see these people, they have 40 years of baggage showing on their face. I mean, come on. Where's your smile? You're here to meet people, and you're looking like the most miserable person on earth. So if we're joyful in our life, it just transmits. People want to be near people who are happy. It's just... So being happy and making time for joy in your life will have people wanting to come near you. So work on that a little bit, but you definitely have very good cards here.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good
I really enjoy
to
your
you.
Show.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I see we've got a lot of people here tonight. And Nicole,
yeah, we've got so many people here tonight.
Okay,
but,
so you...
Just keep in mind, everybody, we are trying to get to everybody, so, you know, just bear with us a little bit. So we're just going to cruise into the next call, then. All right, we're going to speak with Vinny, and Vinny's in Chicago right now. And basically, you know, he's just looking for an overall view again. You know, he's winding down on a pretty, you know, a pretty turbulent year. He just got over a bad breakup. You know, his business has been a little bit so-so, and he wants to know, you know, for 2012, is his business really going to pick up, and... you know, is it really over with this person that he had a really bad breakup with? So, once again, we're going to go to Vinny in Chicago. Hello, Vinny, you're on the air.
Hello, Cindy. Happy holidays, everybody.
You too, Vinny. I'm sorry about your bad breakup, but...
I guess everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, and this, she was pretty manipulative. Are you aware of that?
Oh, my gosh. That's 100,000%. I am now, you know, after I sit back here and kind of journaled everything and realized,
yeah, because,
you know, what she put me through for a year and a half.
You know, it was very unusual. The first two cards, there's only two manipulator cards, by the way, in the deck. And I got the first two cards I pulled for you was manipulator. I mean, that means she was really, really, you know, a person who told you everything you wanted to hear. She was the princess that became the beast.
Right.
You had no idea what you signed on. You're a nice person, and, you know, nice people have been brainwashed to see the good in people.
Correct.
And we're a little slow to get the bad and the ugly. And, you know, you might as well have learned a lot of lessons from you, because it's the same thing in business. And it's people we trust that hurt us, and the blinders go on. I'm not seeing that it's over, because she's pretty toxic, and toxic love has an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never leave each other. So she may be resurfacing here, but I need to tell you, how many swords did you want in your back before you had enough?
Oh, she's a little, she's done some crazy things over these 16 months.
Yeah, and I'm saying to you,
if
you let her back in your life, she's not above turning around and having an order of protection against you, because she's just vengeful and hurtful. And I think you're going to have to get your red flags up there, and pretty much there's a lot of anxiety in your picture, Vinny, and anxiety is a dark angel telling you, Vinny, how many, you know, we're trying to keep you from this woman, and she really is a manipulative person. She's really the devil, because manipulation is evil. And if you let her back in your life, we can't keep protecting you from her. So, you know, pretty much accept that you can't fix her. Did you figure that out?
Yes. You know, and I've tried to leave her on a few occasions, and, you know, being the individual that I am, I always try to, again, look at the good side of everything, and it's fine for 3 weeks, and then she goes right back to, you know, doing what she does.
Right, because that's what manipulative people do. They tell us what we want to hear, and they do what they want. They momentarily wake up, and they tell us, oh, this time I saw it. No, I won't do it again. You know, Jesus said you forgive 7 times 70 times. That means you've done something wrong. You recognize, you know, do it again. She's done it more than 7 times 70 times. You know what I mean? And you keep forgiving her. You keep believing people will change. For the most part, manipulators of that scale, you know, manipulators are a scale of 1 to 10. She's like an 8.
Right.
She's not going to change. You're a good person. You're trying to see the good in her. You're trying to be forgiving. But I want you to love yourself the way you would love your son. If a woman did this much crap to your son, what would you tell him?
Right. No, I understood.
And how angry would you be that this woman hurt him? I see her waiting like a month or 6 weeks, because, you know, usually they wait about 2 months or 6 weeks. They call us, they think we've forgotten. You'd be better off not to pick up her calls. Business-wise, it looks like what you didn't learn from her, you may learn in business. Are you learning to trust your gut with people?
In the business world, yeah. The business that I'm in is very competitive, and there's a lot of colleagues of mine that will tell you what you want to hear, but stick knives in your back. And it's taken me 5 years to realize that, you know, good guys finish last. And I'm just trying to revamping my approach to everything.
And what you didn't learn from your girlfriend, you're going to learn from these people in business. People lie, and they lie a lot. And that we have to trust our gut, because if our gut tells us that somebody's lying, they're lying. And, you know, for you, you've learned these important lessons, and in doing that, now your blinders are off. It's easier to, you know, walk around with the rose-colored glasses and pretend everybody's good, but then we get stabbed in the back. Then we get robbed, blind, and raped. You know, we might as well see what's there, because now once your blinders are off, you're not going to get those lessons anymore. So in terms of business, it looks like it should be a better year for you. Again, I don't see her leaving your life unless you're very clear to her you had enough.
Well, do you see anyone else coming on the
Yes,
horizon?
I definitely see you this time with a soulmate, one who's...
I've been waiting so long, you have no idea.
Because you're a good person, God says, I got to keep giving Vinny the same stupid lesson that, you know, that there's the prince and the princesses that become the beast. And until you realize that, until you stop seeing the good in people, I got to keep bringing you bad people who look good. Once you see that, you're going to be given that wonderful soulmate. You're going to come to that. I mean, it really is here pretty soon. Try not to beat yourself over the head so much like you're stupid, because it's really the good people. The good people are the ones with the blinders on that have been brainwashed to see the good. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with stupidity. It has to do with the Judeo-Christian tradition of brainwashing us to see the good.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
So
there's
I just
a
have
little,
to be patient, and she'll come around. My
yeah, and you have to kind of be able to stand on your own 2 feet without somebody. That's when the princess and prince comes, and we can stand on our own 2 feet. when we're financially, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, we're pretty happy with ourselves. That's when God brings us. When we're still needy and we still think we need somebody, that's when it always becomes toxic love. So a little bit of standing on your own 2 feet. Concentrate on business for a few months, by the way.
Okay.
And get
okay.
your business.
Yeah, because I'm exactly there now. What you just said is where I'm at right now with the whole needy kind of thing.
Right, and if you're needy, then God's going to say, oh, I can't listen to your whining anymore, Vinny. I'll bring you another toxic bitch just to shut you up. And you're going to learn the same lesson again because you couldn't stand on your own 2 feet for 3 months, and then I'd bring you a soulmate. So kind of figure if we're needy, we're going to keep getting people who are going to be needy as well. And needy people, it's toxic love. Toxic love is an addiction. It's like heroin. It's not good for you, and you still need it, and you want to fix. And that's what's going on with your ex here. You know, if you get that needy, you're going to need a fix. You're going to call her up, and it's going to feel good for about a minute, and then you're going to crash down again. So, you know, we have to stop thinking we can't survive without somebody. We're grown-ups here. You know, we can survive without a man or a woman and for a while, and then we'll make no excuses for abuse. Because otherwise we just say, oh, it's okay, you did it to me. So, you know, working on being a strong, independent person and being the best Vinny that you can be and kind of loving yourself a little bit and working on the business, you know, building your self-esteem because the business is doing good. There's a couple of other people you need to throw out of your life, too, not just her. So, start thinking about who's not serving your higher good, who's taking advantage of you business-wise or personally,
okay.
And kind of getting rid of the toxic relationships in our lives. It's one of the hardest lessons in life. We have to be loyal to those people who deserve our loyalty.
Okay.
And money looks good, you know, just keep concentrating on that.
I hope so. Well, this whole thing was because I gave $150 to a homeless shelter. So I'm like, it's, you know, I put it on my credit card because I didn't have the monetary, you know, the monetary funds to give it in cash. But that's what this whole thing. So I'm very good when it comes to, you know, giving when it's coming in. I've always been good like that. So
right. And again, you know, it's nice to give to a homeless shelter, but if we keep writing checks for other deadbeat family members who keep saying it's a bad economy and there's no work, there's no shortage of work, sometimes God will make bad things happen to good people if they keep rescuing those people who God's saying, get it out of my way, don't write a check for your deadbeat brother because I want your deadbeat brother to be out cold in the street so he'll realize you got to go to work.
Right.
So sometimes we got to be careful with our generosity. You know, everybody's entitled to one sinking Titanic, one rehab, one get out of jail card free. After that, God says, get out of my way, let them land where they land. So, you know, that's a hard lesson for good people, too, because we always want to fix people and rescue everybody.
Sure.
You know, mostly let's just rescue ourselves. Let's make 2012. We're going to rescue ourselves. Everybody rescue themselves, you know, and that would be a wonderful world, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, absolutely.
Well, call us and let us know what happens. And thanks for calling us from all the way in Chicago.
Well, thank you for grounding me. I appreciate it. God bless very much. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Now, bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, I see you've been screening. Okay. We have a Long Islander, huh?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go over to Diane in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually had a reading with you before. And she's looking for a little bit of relationship advice because, you know, now she's in a new relationship, you know, and she wants to know, is this the right one? And she also wants to know if this is a prime time for her to sell her home, Cindy. So she's a little bit spread out there. So hopefully
she's
you'll
got
have
a couple of things
for-
on her horizon here.
Oh, I'm hoping so for Diane. Hopefully 2012 will be nice for her. So we're going to cruise over to Diane in Long Island. Hello, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you.
Oh, my God, Diane, you have the best cards here. You have, like, a really great five-year period opening up and kind of like, what does Diane want? Does Diane want to sell this house finally?
I think so. I think now is the time, Cindy.
Right. And you know what? It's funny in Long Island because the prices, you know, they're not very good right now, but I don't think they're going to go up anytime soon from what's been going on. So, you know, getting a decent price now and moving forward, where is it that you want to go from here? Do you know where you want to be living?
I'm really not sure, but I just need to get rid of the past. It's the one thing that's still keeping me tied to my ex-husband, and it's just time to let go and move on. And
again, that's the big thing, because if we don't make space for a new life and we still stay tied, sometimes we stay economically tied to a person too long because we're afraid. And this man looks very nice in this picture, and if you're still too tied to your husband, it could mess it up. Are you aware of that?
Yes, and I don't want to jeopardize that, no.
Right, and so, you know, even if you don't think it's the world's best price, you know, other houses are down too, and you can translate it to something else if you want to. But you have a very good five-year period opening up. You just have to see what it is that you want. See yourself in a lovely new place to live. See yourself with your soulmate. See yourself happy. See your house selling and getting a good price. And see your ex-husband okay. Nobody, you know, wish him in the laws of karma. He gets the life he deserves. Ha ha. But, you know, try to just see positive things, because money looks good. You know, in terms of you have really not one negative card here. It's just that you're kind of, remember when I opened the show, I don't know if you were listening, I said 2012 is a year in which we're not staying with the devil we know anymore. We're letting go of the devil we know. And the man looks very nice here. He looks like he cares about you. Are you beginning to realize that?
I think so. We've been together for 2 months, and I've never been happier. And things are just happening so quick and so fast that kind of frightens me.
Again, it can be frightening, but if it's soulmate love, it does happen quickly. Do you have feelings? Do you care for him with your soul and your heart and your mind and your body? I mean, it is soulmate love. Whether it stays that way is if you don't get afraid, because when you're saying it kind of scares me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all we have is our, you know, is now. And if it's good now, embrace it. Don't stay too. Are you still living in the house with your husband?
No, we have not been living together for five years, but I'm still in the house that we own together.
Right.
And he kind of feels like it's still his house. He owns it.
Right. And that's why I always advocate when you get a divorce, the person who moves on the best is usually the person who gets out of the house. You know, if it's still, you know, you in the house, he thinks he can walk in whenever he wants. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you want to get rid of that. You want to have a new space that's yours, belongs to you, because certain people could, you know, my ex-husband still has our house that we had. I don't think that's my house. Do you know what I mean? But I'm a different person. But if I would never have lived there, because he would have thought it was his house. You know, I knew what I was dealing with. So at this point, it probably would have been better off if you let go of it 5 years ago. You would have gotten a hell of a lot more money.
I know. But I
realize let that be a lesson to people. Let that be a lesson to people. You know, if you're getting your gut telling you, sell it now, move out now. But it's still, you could get a decent price and there's a lot of houses if you wanted to even get another one that are going for good prices, too.
Right.
So, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen of another. But, you know, again, you keep saying, I think so. I think I want to do it. It's got to be like, I know what I want. You know, in the laws of attraction,
right.
Once we know what we want, change happens immediately.
Okay.
It's when we're not sure that God keeps saying, okay, I'll hold the floodwaters a little longer, Diane. You know, but there's a point where, you know, move forward. Things look very good. Your relationship looks good. There's a lot of happiness in this picture. Money looks good. Selling of the house looks good. So, you know, again, you held on to it, you know, kind of longer than you should have. But it is what it is. It's the same,
right.
You know. Do you want to get another house?
No.
So do you want to get a, you know, just maybe a temporary place for a little bit and figure out what you want?
Yes, I think I'm going to just maybe rent for a while till I figure out what it is I want.
That's
and
a good
I
deal.
Also want to just see how this relationship goes also.
Right, because then who knows where you'll be living. Maybe you'll get a home together. Maybe you'll, you know, I liked when I divorced that I got a small co-op that I lived in. I rented it. It was nice. I didn't have too much to worry about. It was definitely affordable. And then 5 years later I bought a house because that's what I wanted to do at that point. But sometimes it's just nice. I felt like That Girl. Remember that show, That Girl? I don't know if you remember where Marla Thomas lived on her own and she had her own little space. You know, I was That Girl. So maybe you want to be That Girl for a little while, you know, where an apartment's not a lot to take care of. You could, it's not stressful financially, and you don't have to spend your whole time taking care of it. So renting could be fun and, you know, figuring out where you want to go. That's what I'm saying. If you're trying to make all the big decisions now, you probably won't sell the house. It's too much at once.
No.
So make a small move, you know, a little bit at a time. And again, staying in that house was, you know, perhaps maybe you thought there was a chance you could get back with your husband. Maybe you didn't want to sell it. But now you know it's time to move on.
It's time to move on, absolutely.
And it's a wonderful time. 2012 is a really good year for good people. The bad manipulators, watch out.
Cindy, this person in my life is a significant age difference. Should I be concerned about that, or do you see everything working out?
Soulmates can have a significant age difference. They can have a race difference, a religious difference, because God wants us to come to realization that only love matters. And again, we've got to stop thinking if this is the forever soulmate or not. I mean, when you're younger and you want to have babies and stuff like that, that's a big thing, you know. But as you start at this stage in your life, you may just enjoy him. Maybe he's a soulmate for 5 years. Maybe he's one for 10 years. Maybe he's one for the end of your life. But are you enjoying him?
I'm having so much fun.
Okay.
I really am. For the first time in a long time, I'm having fun and I'm happy.
And that's what I said. So have fun and be happy. If the age difference becomes a problem, then you'll deal with it when you cross that bridge.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, because we can't anticipate every single thing that will happen. I mean, I had a friend of mine who was 26, and her soulmate was, I think, 53 at the time. And she was with him for about 20 years. She died first.
Oh, wow.
And here she was always like, what if he dies before me? He's still alive. He's like 84.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, sometimes people have to stop thinking. We don't know what's going to happen or what's not. But she had a wonderful 20 years with him. You know, she was with him from the time. So that's why I'm saying we can't worry so much about things. I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, because I knew what it was to fall in love with someone with a significant age difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only love mattered. And, again, try going with it and enjoy it, you know.
I am. Thank you so much.
And have a wonderful holiday. And
you too, everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye now.
All right,
okay,
then.
Nicole, we're moving right around. Wasn't she delightful?
Oh, she totally was. All right, Cindy, we have to continue to cruise down this list of people here. We've got about 12 minutes to go. And right now
Thank
we're going to go
since my time on my blog talk radio says 24 minutes to go.
Yes, we've got about 12 minutes, guys, all right? So, and we do have two people screened, so hopefully we'll be able to address both of these people today. All right, and we're going to cruise over to Jennifer. Jennifer is in Long Island, and right now Jennifer is working on a 5-year plan with her and her husband, and she wants to know how that plan is looking for, you know, for them, especially in regards to their careers. And also they recently had a family member pass, and they want to know if there's any messages or any contact on that end as well.
Very
good. We're
going
to move on to Jennifer in Long Island.
Okay.
Hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
I'm sorry about your loss, because you definitely have that big heartbreak card here. And
thank you.
First of all, your 5-year plan looks good. How long have you been married now?
4 months.
Okay. Do you want a baby in that 5-year plan?
I do.
Okay, because the person who passed away is allowed to gift you with someone to love, and seem to have picked the soul of your newborn that will be coming. So
okay.
There's definitely babies in the 5-year plan. There's also, you know, your husband loves you like crazy. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And he's a very strong-willed guy, by the way. And he's, you know, money looks okay here. He seems to worry a lot about money, your husband. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And, you know, basically, cause, not because he's so materialistic, by the way, it's because money represents survival.
Yes.
And, you know, he wants to provide for you. And, you know, just get him to chill out a little bit about money because the money looks okay, too, here in the future.
Okay.
Are you happy with where you're living?
We would like to be in a different area.
Okay, because that's going to be there, too, for you.
Okay, yeah, so, we live in an apartment, so.
Do you want to get a house?
Yes.
Okay, if I were you, I'd start looking now.
Okay.
The houses are never going to be cheaper than they are right now. Never.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know if you've, have you been looking at all online?
No.
Okay, because I need to tell you that with the price, house prices are going now, they probably have not been this low in 20 years.
Okay.
And, you know, what I made the mistake when I was first married was, you know, thinking, let me save a few more years money. And the houses were going probably for about $40,000 in Merrick at that time. Well, within 5 years, they went up to like $180,000.
Right.
So if I had bought it then, I couldn't save, you know, $140,000 in 5 years. How stupid was I? You may find yourself in that position. If there's a lot of estate sales, there's a lot of older people who have died on Long Island. I had to sell my parents' house this year, and it went for a steal because I couldn't hold it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a house next door to where I live now that's going for a steal. It's an estate sale. So try to look. That looks very good. It's a woman who passed away, by the way.
No.
Because there's a woman up there that wants to talk to you.
It okay.
Could be one of your grandmas. Do you remember her?
Right.
She's the one saying, go after the house.
Do you have any kind of characteristics that would let me identify which one or who?
This is your mom's mom.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, she's a real feisty thing up there, let me tell you.
Yeah, she is.
She's just saying, Jennifer, go after what you want because you're going to get it. There's someone saying dad. Who is that?
My father and my father-in-law.
Okay, your father-in-law just passed away?
Yes.
Okay, because he's the one who sort of, as soon as you came in, he came into the room.
Okay.
He's the one who told me your husband worries about money because it represents survival.
Right, that's true.
And, you know, he's asking that you don't mourn him too long. The same with your dad. You know, the dads are up there.
Yeah.
And they're good guys. I wonder
if they like, know each other or something, you know.
Yeah, because they're both watching over you. They're saying you're good kids, which is a blessing. Because sometimes dead people say, I ain't watching over those people anymore.
You know, recently I've been having a lot of dreams about people that have passed on. I've been having dreams. I feel like I've been getting messages. I recently dreamed of my own father, which I never do. And I
that's
just...
because your father-in-law passed away, and it would bring up
okay.
the loss of your dad.
Yeah.
And your dad also, dreams like that are called are astral projections.
Okay.
You go to a realm where you could see your dad, and he was just knowing that your heart was breaking for him as well. And that
yeah.
you have to now mourn for your dad again, that's what happens. And your dad is resting in peace. He's a little apologetic to you. Do you know why he'd say he's sorry?
I absolutely know why he would say that.
Okay, and he's sincere.
I absolutely know why he apologized.
Okay, and he means it was from the bottom of his heart. And your forgiveness of him is something that, you know, is allowing him to rest in peace.
Yeah.
And don't make a saint out of him. The good, the bad, and the ugly of your dad. He had, you know, plenty of good, but the bad and the ugly.
I absolutely do forgive him, and I think about him every day and think about if he's, I don't want to say proud of me because I know what the answer
beyond
is.
Beyond proud. They're saying you're a good kid. You're good kids.
Yeah.
You know,
Live on. I didn't know him very well, so I try and live on through his example and know that if he were here, he would recognize my recent ambitions.
Right, and absolutely, and he's a very good dad now. Some dads who were not that great on earth, some parents,
right.
become remarkably good in the afterlife.
Right.
They really knew it's their dysfunction. It's their unhealed issues. And he's
right.
saying, Jennifer, it had nothing to do with you. You were a very good daughter. Your father-in-law is for someone recently dead, he's a little agitated. He's trying to, he would be here if he could be vital and he could be helping people. But he didn't want to be taken care of, so, you know, that's him.
What do you mean, be here in the physical world?
If he could be vital still, you know, and be a man who could, you know, do what he has to do and help. He
right.
isn't a man who wants to be here sick and have people taking care of him. It wasn't going to suit with him. It wasn't going to sit well with him.
Right.
So, you know, accepting his death, and if you want to honor him, have a wonderful holiday.
Right, and that's exactly what we had invited his family to the house to participate in my family's, you know, because they didn't want to be reminded of his death.
Right, and again, he's saying, well, I'll be down there. The dead are allowed down on Earth about 100 hours a month. He'll be at that Christmas party. You look for a sign.
Yeah.
And that when an ornament falls off the tree all by itself, he'll be rattling the tree.
Right. And is there any presence of a grandfather around? Because he's also like my dad as well.
Right, because that's why I said there was a lot, there was a lot of dads resonating. I wasn't sure if you had a stepfather because there was like a lot of people saying dad. So your
yeah.
grandpa, of course, was your dad. I mean, he was your father figure. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
You know, so he's happy. There, your grandpa's resting in peace because you have a good husband. And all you
yeah.
ever wanted, all you ever wanted when you were a little girl, Jennifer, was a happy family.
Yeah, I did.
And again, there's a baby that wants to be born to you. I would advise you to use contraception if you don't want to get pregnant too soon, because, boy, this baby wants to be born.
Okay. Do you have any idea, like time frame?
It would be as soon as you wanted it. So.
Okay.
You know, very good being. It's like a 9,000-year-old wise being. It wants to be born to you and your husband because you're soulmates.
Yeah, do
doesn't
you have
want
any
to be born in toxic love.
And we should be expecting.
Do you want to get pregnant?
I do, just really not at this time.
Okay, so again, it's probably within a year or two. You might be surprised, but again. You won't regret it. It's a wonderful, wonderful being.
I just have, I know you have other people to get to, but, you know, does my father-in-law, is there any messages that I could really bring? I know you gave me a message to bring to my husband, but in terms of his family, like I know his family is struggling with this.
Well, he's saying it was his time to go, and that should give them some sense of peace. He's a little concerned about them taking care of, like, the finances and stuff.
Okay.
And they got to take care of stuff.
Okay.
He'll rest in peace when more of that's taken care of. Is there a lawsuit surrounding him?
Surrounding?
Your father-in-law.
I'm sorry, my father-in-law?
Uh-huh.
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Okay, but again, he just wants the money to be taken care of, everything. He's just really talking about paperwork and stuff like that.
Okay.
Was he a person that took care of that kind of stuff on Earth?
He was. He was basically in charge of most of those issues.
Right. So it's making him nervous that he's not here to take care of it. So you can tell it's still pretty human. It's not, you know... Nothing for any of you to worry about. He wants to rest in peace. That's what he keeps saying.
Right.
He's
right.
tired. He's very tired. So he's obviously been through an ordeal.
Right.
He was ill for a while.
Yes, he was.
Because he's saying he had enough of illness and sickness.
Yes.
So you've got to understand he's got what's called the lightness of being. He's himself without an ill, sick body.
Okay.
So that's important.
Right. And I just had, lastly, I just wanted to figure out, you know, career-wise, I've been trying to make some strides, and I just wanted to know where, you know, I will be within the next year.
Your career looks really pretty good here.
Oh,
and,
good.
you're definitely, and your husband's capable of making very good money, and you too. I got the Queen of Money card. You're a person who will continue to make good money. You might have to take a little more risks than you're used to taking eventually.
Okay.
Because, you know, if we play on the sidewalk too long, we're probably not going to make the money we should.
Right.
So you're going to be given some opportunities. Have the courage to embrace them.
Okay.
But just tell your husband to stop worrying about money. His father's laughing. His father really did worry about money a lot, too.
Yeah, so do I. I mean,
I know. You people are hardworking. You people are hardworking. Don't worry about money.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay,
it was really
good luck to you.
Speak with you.
Okay, bye. Take care.
Nicole, I have no idea how much time we have left since.
We have about 5 seconds left.
Okay, so I think we're going to have to call it a night here.
So this did not get to everybody tonight, so we do apologize for those who
Grace, if she calls in, like, toward the beginning of the show next week, that you'll pick her up first next week.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note of the last four digits. So, Grace, if you'd like to call in next week, I'll be sure to try to locate you in our calling queue.
And we're going to say a shout-out to everyone. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening. Nicole, thank you for being super and screening all those calls tonight.
Oh, anytime, Cindy, anytime. Anything for you, you know that.
Okay. And hugs to Lisa, and have a great week.
Yes,
bye.
And you know what? Tell PJ that I said the same to him, too, okay?
Oh, good. He's at a Christmas party for Dan's paper, so he's having a good time.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, wish him my best. And you know what, Cindy? It's amazing. We do the show. This week, I have yet to meet TJ.
You've never met him?
I've never met him in person. That's
on our bucket list for this Christmas time. We got to have that. Come on.
Absolutely, Cindy. All right. So everybody have a great week. And Cindy, I will see you here next week, same time.
Bye.
Bye.